Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulligan.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And welcome to part six of the Death Dealers Invitational, where we were planning on doing what we're going to talk about in this episode was supposed to be part of the last episode, and we got into some great discussions on a couple of matches and the philosophy of wrestling and working, and so decided to break it up into some different episodes. So we're in the second round, the bottom left-hand bracket. If you're looking at the bracket, doubledropkick.com. Mark, tell them who we got in our first match.
The Brain Busters, Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson with their manager, Bobby Heenan, taking on Owen Hart, Yokozuna, and their manager, Jim Cornette.
So are we doing Bobby Heenan or are we doing J.J. Dillon?
I don't think it matters. You wrote Brain Busters.
That's what you wrote.
I didn't write this, you did.
But on the previous whiteboard session, You wrote Brain Busters, so that's what went on the bracket, and that's what went on the board. So, all right, I think this is going to be a great match. And I want the Brain Busters to win.
I know you do. I know you want the Brain Busters to win.
And I know you're going to try to sell me otherwise.
No, I'm not. I'm with you. The Brain Busters. All day long.
Yeah. Always.
It's not even a, I mean, yeah, I mean, Owen Hart, God rest his soul.
Yes.
Was a great mid-card wrestler.
Yeah.
Okay. And he had a couple of good matches with his brother Bret Hart.
Yes.
I don't remember there being all these great Owen Hart fans before he passed away.
I agree.
I'm not knocking him. I don't mean that to be insulting at all. I just don't remember there being all this love for Owen Hart before he passed away.
No, I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
Same for Yokozuna. Yokozuna, I don't think we, and this is sad on our part, I don't know that we fully appreciated
him.
I did. There's some people.
You did not. I did.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't. A lot of people didn't get like what that man could do.
Yeah.
At his size. What he was capable of, the athleticism. Now, his weight got out of control.
Right.
And he had a very small window of time where he was a really, really good performer.
Yeah. But he was great. Still,
but he was a great big man. He was one of the greatest big men of all time for a very short period of time. That's the problem. Whereas the Brain Busters, two different promotions, world champions. I mean, great, great, great. There's only one word to describe them, and it's great.
Great. Next, we've got the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom, versus the Sons of Steel, who pulled off one of the biggest upsets of the first round, beating Ricky Steamboat and Jay Lee Youngblood. We just saw the Sons of Steel at Three Count Pro Wrestling.
Don't think they're going to pull out an upset here.
I don't either. Listen, I don't either.
Bryce and Boomer, great tag team. But I think even they would agree that if they had to step in the ring with the LOD, they're doing the job that night.
Right. I can just.
Now they're going to put up a good showing.
I can see Boomer kind of begging off a little bit.
It really would be a good match. But when they pick Bryce up.
Yes.
And Hawk comes off the top rope.
It's over.
That's going to be all she wrote. But it's going to be a good match.
Yes.
They're going to get their stuff in.
Yes.
But ultimately, I think even they would agree, LOD.
And you're setting up in the second round. Again, the first round is a blind draw. And we're setting up here in what's going to be the Sweet 16, a match that we've seen. Brain Busters and the Legion of Doom. I'm excited. I mean, it's a match I've seen. It's
I'm
a match
excited
I
to do it right.
There you go. There you go. Next, we've got Public Enemy and Harlem Heat.
And again, this one is going to go pretty quick because I think Harlem Heat. Public Enemy, you don't even do that heavy. I need to give you some stuff. Here's the thing about Public Enemy. They had a cult following in front of a cult promotion.
Yes.
And when they tried to go anywhere else, it was not successful.
Right.
And Harlem Heat is one of the greatest tag teams of all time.
Right.
Hands down. To me, Harlem Heat.
Harlem Heat beat Kane and The Undertaker in the first round of this tournament.
Yeah.
And just pretty amazing stuff. And then in our next match, okay, in the first round, fans, you saw the Von Erichs, Kevin and Kerry Von Erich, take on Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin because Terry Gordy's teaming with Steve Williams and Buddy Roberts was having hair replacement surgery. But they went to a double count out. And Red Dragon, I can't even remember who they beat. Who did they beat in the first round?
I don't know, but clearly it was something I gave you to appease.
It was
I don't know what the
I don't have it in front of me. But anyway,
that's been 2 weeks ago. There's a lot that's happened since.
Yes. But Red Dragon is automatically into the Sweet 16 where they're going to be facing Harlem Heat. So let me – okay.
It is completely ridiculous that Red Dragon is in the Sweet 16 of our all-time greatest tag teams. It is ridiculous.
I am not going to disagree. I am not going to disagree with that. Again, you go back – that's the great thing about these tournaments is we get a do-over next year.
Yeah.
I'm not the one that booked Von Erichs and Freebirds to a double count out.
This is true.
I mean, I think so. Let me ask you this. And I certainly don't think, Red Dragon is one of the greatest tag teams of all time.
I think that you do think that.
No, I don't. I think that when we were talking about current tag teams, and right now they're not a current tag team. But over the last 2 years, they were one of the top tag teams in one of the larger companies. Multiple tag team title reigns, some good matches with the Young Bucks. The match they
one
had,
of the larger companies means that of all the other independent countries or promotions in the country, they draw a couple of hundred more.
All right, but Ring of Honor pays guys full time.
I agree. I don't disagree with that. How much did they pay them?
They pay them enough that they many of them do not have to work second jobs.
Many of them, but not all of them. Therefore, they are an independent wrestling promotion.
No, I'm not. I mean, I don't disagree with that.
They're an indie promotion. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, right. Everybody's an indie promotion except for WWE.
Yeah.
And they're not even a wrestling promotion anymore. Right. They are a multimedia conglomerate.
Yes.
Just like the Double Dropkick Show.
Yes.
We're a multimedia.
We are. We're into podcasting. We produce wrestling programming.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the end of many wrestling shows, doubledropkick.com production. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you'd be surprised, fans. Let me just say this. Mark and I are doing this podcast. It's a great outlet. We get to do the fantasy booking. And would you believe people look at the talent of Mark Whitman, the brain of Mark Whitman, his booking ability, and they would look at the time and effort and energy I put into producing a wrestling show, and they would say, nah, we don't need that. We don't want that.
Yeah, we don't. I don't need that as part of my promotion.
No, and it's really nice to be, when you do work hard and you do put in a lot of hours trying to make a good product, it's very nice to be appreciated. Because it reminds you all the more of when you weren't appreciated.
Well, yeah, and if you look and you say, you look at what Three Count has become.
Yeah.
And you look at what other things kind of.
Yeah.
Fizzled into. I mean, that's the way it is, man. It is what it is.
It is.
That's what it is.
It is what it is. This tournament is what it is. This is part six of the Death Dealers Invitational. Mark, if somebody just stumbled upon this episode and they are like, who are the Death Dealers and why are they in this match? And speaking of dealing death, I thought, did you?
I did not.
Oh. Who are the Death Dealers?
I burped a minute ago. Maybe that's what you.
Oh,
maybe I had a little funk on it.
Who are the Death Dealers?
Frank Frazetta had a painting, and you may have seen it. There's a guy sitting on a horse with a, like an executioner's hood, and he's holding a big sickle, and the name of that painting is The Death Dealer.
Ah.
And there you go.
Did not know that.
When I started wrestling, met a guy named Timmy King, also known as Tank Murdoch.
Yeah.
And we decided we kind of favor. I mean, we sort of look alike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We sort of have similar builds and both shaved our heads and whatnot. And we were like, hey, we should be a tag team. And it just evolved.
Yeah.
I don't know where the, I don't remember exactly where we came up with the name. I know that I got a vest at home that's got a, you're going to find this funny. Somebody made me a vest, and on the back it's got a skeleton that's holding a like a bloody ace.
Yeah.
And like Tank went and had one made.
Oh, wow.
To match it, and then we were just kind of like, well, we're going to deal out death. You know what I mean? It was just that kind of thing, and it just evolved into being the Death Dealer.
Now, who was your – you had a tag team partner before Tank that you turned on.
Yes.
And that –
The Shadow Warrior.
Now, what was your team with him?
We didn't have a name.
But y'all had been teaming for
a while. We teamed up for a little bit, yeah. But it was all like we teamed up just so I could turn on him.
And get to Tank.
And get with Tank. And then there was another guy that was around named Bulldog Bauer.
Yeah.
Bulldog Bauer. I can't remember. It was... Can't remember whoever the actual bulldog in wrestling is. It was a playoff on
that. Oh, gotcha.
So yeah, like that was the thing. Like me and him were a team. Me and he was the heel.
Yeah,
Bulldog, and he and Tank had teamed up or something like that. And me and the Shadow Warrior were doing with our thing. And then I just kind of turned on him, and me and Tank beat them both up. And they were like, "Oh well, we got common enemies." You know, It was one of those things. And then me and Tank. Like, took it to the next level. And
I wish, number one, that they had video cameras back then and that I could have filmed that. I wish,
I used to have a VHS with some of my matches on.
Yeah.
And I just, Tank told me he's got some, so I just need to get
it. All right, Timmy, I'm needing you, brother. I am needing you. It is time to get these on YouTube. I don't know how you get VHS to YouTube, but listen, Timmy. We'll give you take back. I'll even burn you a CD, but the Death Dealers matches need to go on. The Death Dealers, it has been too long. The Death Dealers DVD with special commentary from me and Mark. I want to see that happen.
I could find it, man. Like I said, he told me he's got a VHS somewhere with some of our matches.
All right.
I'm afraid that if I go back and watch it, I'll realize I wasn't near as good as I thought I was.
Maybe we need to pre-watch this before we do.
Before we go telling everybody it's been found, let me watch it and make sure it's as good as I remember it being. I'll be the first to tell you, I was not a great worker. That wasn't my strong. It was always cutting promos. Tank was a worker.
Yeah.
You know, I would take stupid. Bump. I mean, I'd drop an elbow from the apron to the floor. I did that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I just cheated.
Yeah.
Like, I was not out there cutting flips and stuff. I was the guy that laid a dude's face across the top rope and slit his eye. And I used my boot laces and I had a big skull belt buckle. I'd hit people. I mean, that was my gig.
Yeah.
I was not a great worker.
But you just said in our last episode, but you got heat. I mean,
Yeah.
Mark got heat. He got heat people are afraid of getting today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, like, I couldn't work. What I'm saying is, like, in the ring, Tank was the better worker.
Yeah.
But Tank couldn't cut a promo, and I could. Yeah. So I didn't have to be good in the ring because I cut all the promos, and they hated us before the match started. And then I got in there and got beat up and tagged Tank in. Like, that was, you know. And he come in like a ball of fire. Tank was great. Tank was a good worker.
Yeah. He come in like a house of fire.
He would, man. Like, I think the money with us being a baby face, with me taking the heat and Tank coming back and making the comeback, we could have done it.
Who are you going to take the heat from?
there's some big dudes out there at the time. See, there weren't like a bunch of, there wasn't a bunch of little kids wrestling at the time.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
When I first, I mean, I'm a big dude.
Yeah.
And I can remember being in a wrestling locker room for the first time and, like, really one of the first times in my life looking around and going, Jesus, man, I'm not as big as I thought I was.
Right.
Around a bunch of grown men. I remember Panhead Nelson, who people around here will remember, coming in, and they told us we were working the Road Hogs that night.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, it's Joe Harley and Panhead Nelson. And Tank will know exactly. And if you're from around here.
Yeah,
if you're from the Westminster area. You've heard those names. And the first time Robbie Panhead walked in, and he filled a door frame out.
Yeah.
And I thought, I got to get – like, that's the first time I was ever nervous about getting in the ring with somebody.
Yeah.
Because it was the first time I had been in the ring with somebody who I knew that I wasn't just going to do what I wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, he'll fight back.
Yeah,
and he'll be all right because he's bigger than I am, and he's, you know, and but he wasn't. Well, we got along great. I mean, there wasn't an issue, but all the older guys, it doesn't happen now. Now everybody's brother, 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 and shaking hands.
Right.
And I worked the Outlaws.
Right.
This wasn't.
Yeah.
Most of us wasn't licensed and stuff like that. You know what I mean? We were just running outlaw shows, setting up a ring and having shows. And it was a lot of mistrust
until
you got to know somebody. It wasn't walking in the locker room, shaking everybody's hand. How you doing, brother? Good to see you, brother.
Yeah.
None of that stuff. I mean, there were times you'd be sitting across the locker room glaring at the guy that you were going to have a match with, trying to psych each other out to make sure they knew, if you try shooting on me now, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a lot of that went on back in the Outlaws during the 90s.
I've heard it may have been – maybe in Tank, but I've heard Panhead was like could really go.
He was good.
Like I heard, he was a big guy, but like it may have been Ken
Both
Addis.
Of those guys could go.
May have been Ken Addis that told me just Panhead was just one of these guys that you worked with him, and he was so huge, but he would make himself light as a feather for you.
He was great. Ken was good too. Big Doc Adams.
Yeah.
Ken Addis. And he's one of the guys, I wouldn't say he trained me, but he taught me the most valuable lesson I ever learned.
Which is?
He and I had a match, and I was just, like, it was my second or third match.
Right.
And he just kept, he wasn't, like, working stiff. I mean, he worked stiff, but not like, it wasn't stiff like he was shooting. You have to know the difference, you know what I mean?
Right.
He was just working stiff, which is fine.
Yeah.
Like, I never minded that. But I kept waiting on him because I was the babyface and he was the heel. He had just turned heel. And he's trying to get this big heel thing over me being the babyface at the time, just this young guy. And I remember waiting on him to tell me, all right, now kind of do this and do that, because usually the heels will lead the match and they'll, you know, they'll kind of tell you what to do.
Right.
And he never did.
Yeah.
And then he pinned me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't really do anything in that.
Yeah.
He just kind of jobbed me out. So when we got, because I'm a man.
Yeah.
I'm not, that's another thing. There's a lot of guys nowadays, they got issues, but they're scared to talk about them.
Right.
And I'm not that guy.
No.
So when we got back to the dressing room, I was hot.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, like, I think my exact words were, you'd kind of jobbed me out there. Like, I kept waiting on you to give me the Iggy.
Yeah.
All right, kind of. And then you just kind of ended the match abruptly before I had a chance to get my shine in. And he goes, well, why didn't you just cut me off? And I said, what do you mean, why didn't I just cut you off? He said, if I was in a match with you and I wasn't happy with the way things was going, then I would have just cut me off and I would have got my stuff in. And I might would have kicked out on that pin attempt if I didn't get my stuff in and I didn't feel like it went right. And it was the best lesson that I ever got about don't wait on somebody else to give you something because don't nobody owe you nothing.
And right.
If you want to do it, then you take over.
Wow.
And from that point on, that's what I did.
You did.
I didn't like what was going on in the match, I have kicked out when I shouldn't have kicked out if I didn't like something, you know.
Brock Lesnar, I'm telling you what.
There was a difference between 90s outlaw promotions.
Yeah.
There's a difference between 2017 outlaw promotions.
Yeah.
And 2017 places like Three Count.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Outlaw promotions, the guys are outlaws for a reason.
Right.
And it's generally the real tough guys are working outlaws.
Right.
Because you have to be.
Right.
Because it will. I have seen it turn into shoots with me in the ring and with other people in the ring.
And that's what, we, you know, we're trying to. I think that could be. That could kill a promotion.
Yes, it's not good. It's really not. It's not good for guys to. I don't care how much you like one another, don't like one another. When somebody gives you their body, you need to respect that. And,
right.
And plus, it's just not good for business to do that kind of thing.
No.
There's a lot of immaturity back then on my part and other people's parts, and you don't.
Well, there's a different kind of immaturity today, I think, in the fact that what you were saying.
Yeah, the immaturity then was, well, let's fight about it. And the immaturity now is, let's talk about each other behind our backs.
Right, right.
You know?
And I don't care what walk of life you're in, that never ends well.
Nah, I mean, where I work now, if we got stuff to say to each other, we say it, because typically if you get it out,
mm-hmm.
it's.
You realize it's not as big a deal as
you thought. Right, and everybody can move on.
Right. Well, listen, we're getting ready to move on. This has been part six of the Death Dealers Ultimate Fantasy Tag Team Tournament Invitational. And you heard in this episode, the Brainbusters defeated Owen Hart and Yokozuna. The Legion of Doom defeated the Sons of Steel. Harlem Heat defeated Public Enemy. And Red Dragon got a bye into the Sweet 16. One of the greatest things ever. So make sure, patreon.com/doubledropkick is where you can support the show for as little dollars a month. You get into our Patreon.
If we could get a couple of more, I could get me a nice headset like Heath bought. Apparently, that's what he used the first check. It's to get that new headset that he's got.
It didn't work as well, though, at the show the other night, but it's working great today. I still
got this old rinky-dink thing on, and you got that $200 headset.
Who paid for that headset you got on?
Well, you did. So I'm guessing, if you want me to really guess who paid for it, I'm not going to say it here.
Oh, good.
I got a pretty good idea who paid for it.
I don't know that you do. Anyway, doubledropkick.com is where you can find all our episodes. Hey, download and subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd really love that. Talk to us on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
But, we're just getting started with this tournament. But as for always, the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.